Sir, the possibility of successfully navigating an asteroid field is approximately 3,720 to 1.
Never tell me the odds.
I'm Pete Mitchell. He's Peyton Jones. And this is the Church Planner Podcast.
Hey, Church Planner, this is Pete Mitchell.
And this is Peyton Jones.
Look at that. You know, my camera is like, it's not getting my full face there.
No, it's not, but it's got those ears.
Dude, you're killing me.
Eyes up here. Eyes up here. You're killing me.
Oh, and no, we're not going to explain to you what we're talking about.
Oh, my goodness. Pete has a Mickey Mouse print on his t-shirt, and it's right over his man chest. So, you know.
I don't know. I don't know what any of that means.
Yes, you do.
I don't know.
But you can deny it. Remember, Pete, a man's worth is determined by the size of his muscles.
Dude, let me tell you, mine sure is. Look at that. Come on, baby. Come on.
So at what point this morning did you realize I have a problem? Getting all those Instagrams from me.
Yeah. When my phone kept beeping at me, another text,
oh my gosh,
another text, another. I'm like, dude, seriously, I have better things to do than.
No, you don't. You confessed last week. Listen, my
That's
algorithm.
That's why I know I have. Like, you are the guy who's saying, hey, kid, you want just a little bit of crack? Just a little bit of, just have a little trial of crack.
I'm the guy who pulls up in the white van. Hey, Pete, have you seen a little dog around here? Look at my Instagram account. That's what I was doing.
Lovely.
So my algorithm right now is the funniest thing on the planet. I have not been on Instagram for 8 years. And then Pete last week, you know, he goes and corrupts me and tells me how, oh, it'll suck you in and wreck your life. No, in all honesty, I'm getting ready to.
I tell you, it's going to suck you in and ruin your life. And what do you do?
Oh, my gosh, dude. Damn. Like, no, you got to understand, I'm still recovering from writing this book. So I needed, I spent an hour this morning drinking coffee and looking at my feed because it wasn't like. You know, if I look through the Facebook reels, right, it's maybe like 1 out of 10 hits. Oh, my gosh. Like after 8 years of not being on Instagram, I get on there and it's like, hey, Peyton, somehow we figured out your brain. And this is the funniest stuff on the planet. I mean, every single one of them was hilarious. So anyways. Yeah. My algorithm. Hey, eyes up here, Pete.
I'm right here. I'm right here. I'm right here.
Did I bore you already? I got my own Instagram. But yeah, I sent Pete like probably what, like 8 of them this morning?
I will admit, the Bob Ross ones were the absolute best. And I'm not going to say what Bob Ross said because some might find it offensive. It wasn't off color or anything, but it was
it's not
funny.
No, funny
when he goes, probably the sunset they didn't want. And I was like losing it. Oh my gosh, when he said that. Oh, that was hilarious.
Oh my gosh, dude. The one where he's playing, what was that like team? Was it Counterforce or Team Strike or something? Where he's like, yeah, you know, he's playing the video and walking through.
That's a happy elimination.
Just a little trigger here, a little trigger there. Yeah, a little trigger. Oh, that was funny, dude.
And we're just going to remind his friend we're still here. Boop, 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 boop. Dude, Bob Ross ones were comedy. And then to see how good AI is.
Oh, my gosh.
When you got Yoda? Like Yoda singing, I don't even know what he was singing. But seriously, dude, get off. And then you go, oh, I need an extra 5 minutes. So I'm running. I'm like, get off the Instagram and there's your 5 minutes.
That's okay. In fairness, I have a sick child. And you know, she just got back from hospital yesterday. So we're in that weird time. Halloween every year. You can't keep your kid from Halloween, right? But Eden can't handle all that. So we let her go out. We do all this stuff that you do, you know, but she pays starting Halloween every year. She's going to end up paying for it for months. And, you know, yeah. So she's back. What's that?
Is it candy?
No, it's, you know, she can't stay up late. If she stays up late, guaranteed she's going to. So right now she's got bronchitis because a lot of people don't know this. She has like a third bronchus, just almost like a third lung. And so she has like a bronchitis that we think is turning into pneumonia, but that's not why she was in the hospital. She has to get a procedure done twice a year. And, so she's in for that. But then on top of that, she's sick. So, last night I had to write an email, to the teachers like, hey, we're going to have to choose between current work and makeup work, because she has what's called an IEP, which is like a it helps her with any challenges she has with the school, and it's, you know, the government puts it in place to protect kids like Eden, you know, from a teacher that thinks, oh, they don't need that. No, she does need this and that when she has, when she's going to be in the hospital for a while, or she's going to miss prolonged periods, you have to work with a kid like this. So I had to fight him. I had to fight him a little bit last year. And there's one teacher that I still got to fight her because she's teaches like two subjects and she starts infecting the others. Oh, we need to not coddle and yada, yada. So, yeah, you just got to do the thing, you know? So that's where we're at. But yeah, so that all sets me back. But anyways, I'm here 5 minutes, but I needed that laugh, brother, after recovering from the book. I got 10 hours sleep the night before last night. I haven't done that in years. And then I got eight and a half hours last night. And then this morning I woke up, you know, making my coffee. And usually I'll watch like videos and stuff while I'm waiting for the coffee to brew, because the brain doesn't work till the coffee comes. And then, oh my gosh, dude, it was probably the best therapy. I would have paid for that. You know, it was good for me. I haven't laughed that hard in years. And you weren't getting all of them. I was sending different ones to
people. Sure I wasn't getting all of them. And I don't need them all.
Was sending different. Okay, fine. So what's the rule now that I'm new to this? And here's the thing, is I'm pretty self-controlled.
Stop sending me Instagram videos. There's the rule.
But they're funny. Don't you
go and send you Instagram videos. You don't send me Instagram videos. That's
what I see. I see. Okay. All right. So it's a one way. All right.
It is 100%.
I got you. I send those to you. You got to admit those were great.
I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't think they were great at all.
All right. We'll go back to the way things were. I like the way things were better. All right.
What else is new in your life?
Nothing. I'm working. My brain is working again, which is nice.
Was it not before?
No. My brain hasn't been. Dude, you got to understand, like, I was as close to burnout as I could possibly get. 16-hour days, man, again. And it was tough.
Is that because you just needed me to stand by you and say, suck it up, buttercup?
No, I sucked it up, man. Like, there was no, you know, when you have a deadline and you're writing like a 400, 500 page book, and then you decide, well, I did that 5 years ago. I think I'll just write that and a journal, a 52-day journal to go with it, you know, and with original content and questions and action steps, you know, I'll write them both at the same time. You got problems, man. And so all my team's like, you're not doing that again, dude. Like, we can't afford for you to do that. I disappeared for a year and a day from my team.
Well, that's sometimes a good thing. I think
it was really good for them. I would imagine it's great. The hard thing's probably like, I'm back.
Yeah. So I don't think anything special has been happening for me lately. I don't know that I have any good stories to share. Though no. I did see a really good documentary this morning, last night.
I think you saw a really good Instagram post as well. But yeah, what was your documentary?
I think it was called The Waves and the Way. It's a new one on Netflix, and it's all these Navy SEALs and dealing with their post-traumatic stress, and then they're doing some psychedelics down in Mexico.
What?
Yeah, that's like resetting the brain, which I've heard a lot of on because of
what could go wrong. Yeah, Tim Ferriss was big on that years ago, but it's one of these things, right?
It's actually very interesting. It's very interesting. It's very interesting from the human aspect. Like, I'm sitting there looking at this going, because one of the things that keeps coming up that most of them don't realize is that they thought it was all this other trauma, right? That they'd seen friends being killed, you know, the shootouts they've been in. And really, like, when they do the psychedelic thing, they're like, actually, there was other stuff from my childhood that turned me into who I was.
Yep.
And it was like the drugs were saying, forget about all that. We got to go look at this.
Absolutely. That's 100%.
Yeah. 100%. 100. Like,
there's a reason these guys became SEALs. There was something that ended up taking them. Like, I think I'm going to go kill people for a living. There's something deep in there. It's usually trauma that leads you to something like that. Not to denigrate.
Yeah. Like one of them even said, he goes, I realized that's why I did what I did is I didn't want to be scared. I wanted to be the scary guy. I wanted to be the one that, you know.
Yep.
And so it drove them to, in fact, one of them said this, like, because the whole, like, part of it is clips of this Stanford research group, right? So they're doing research. They still got to do it in Mexico, but they're doing all the preliminary. They're interviewing these guys, like, you know, all of them basically want to kill themselves, like all
right
when they're finally admitting like how bad they are. And then of course, and then, you know, they're basically documenting the whole thing. And then after the stuff that they go through, how they're all just completely changed. And one guy, he goes, you know, I've come to realize, would we even have a military if we didn't have childhood trauma? Because he realized how much of his trauma affected him and made him into who he was.
Yeah.
And I mean, just a fascinating, and like one guy is like, I totally gave up on my faith. Like, I gave up on my faith as a kid. And like, so it's helping him even reconnect with his faith, which is interesting to me because, you know, we've talked about this before. One of my old college roommates was a Navy SEAL. He was the guy that was on that mission that got bin Laden, and he wrote the book and got in all the trouble. So he was a kid of missionaries. Like, his parents were missionaries in Alaska. And I know that for a long time he walked away from his faith. I don't know that he gave up on it, but he walked away from it, you know, because he always wanted to be a SEAL and do all that stuff. And I know I was watching an interview with him the other day, and he's got a new one coming out next week, actually on the 10th with Sean Ryan. I don't know if you've ever seen that guy's videos, but he's a ex-Navy SEAL that interviews all these dudes. And
heard of him.
Yeah, really popular. And so he's interviewing him next week, or the interview's coming out.
Oh, dude, send it to me when it comes out.
Oh, that's the one that I'll actually watch because I want to see him, because I know he's reconnected with his faith. And he needed to, like, he absolutely needs to. Because I remember when I was talking to his sister after I read his book, No Easy Day, I'm like, dude, does he even realize how many times God saved him? The story, I'm like, dude, God clearly saved you. She's like, I don't know if he realized it or not.
Yeah, what did he say?
What's that?
What did he say?
I've never asked him that.
Oh, yeah.
But
it's interesting. A lot of these guys, you know, they go into this thinking, hey, I'm on the side of right. And then they really struggle because we're not made to take lives, right? And there's a psychological toll that takes.
And it's not even just the taking of life. Like, one of them, so back in 2005, some people will remember this, there was a helicopter, I think it was shot down, that had like 22 SEALs on it. And they were all killed when it crashed. And he was on that helicopter. Because of how high they were, they had to let some weight off so they could actually get to where they needed to go. So he was one of the guys that had
to jump,
got off.
Yeah.
And so he had all kinds of survivor guilt because those were his brothers. Like, that was his team.
Yeah.
And he's like, and I still can't believe I went up and did another platoon after that. He's like,
wow,
that's just nuts. Like, what I went through.
Wow.
You know, and so it's not even just the taking of life. It's, you know, survivor guilt. It's all that stuff, right?
Somebody close to me has that, you know, and it's funny because a lot of them, they don't talk about it, man. Like,
no, like, and this, especially not with us, not with civilians, like maybe with a trusted brother.
Yeah.
Like they would talk to, you know, that person who's been there, like they have.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy, man.
I think, you know, especially as we deal with church planners, there are guys who have been through things who will be able to reach others differently. Like, and we've always talked about that, right? Like the communities, you know, in California, I was really big into the gun communities. Ironically, now that I'm in Texas, a free state where you can shoot pretty much anything you want, I hardly ever go to the range. The last time I went, I think, was when you were here. Like,
yeah.
It's just, it's kind of ironic.
You know, I'm coming back in like a week and a half, right?
Then, okay. I have this little thing that I'm not even going to talk about here on the podcast. It's right, totally right. Legal.
All right.
But let me tell you, I want to go show that.
Listen, you and I don't have to do anything different than what we always do. We'll go there and we'll go to Hutchins. That's all we need.
Well, anyway, all I was just going to say is this, that, you know, it's just God can still use that stuff, you know, because I think about my buddy from college. You know, we were housemates, and I always refer to him as a roommate. I'm like, hey, look, you have a friend who goes on the mission that gets Bin Laden. He was your roommate. He was your best friend.
Right. Right.
But I mean, we technically were living in the same house, and he and I were definitely good friends, and we still talk, ironically, via Instagram every once in a while. It's not like we talk deep or anything, but like, I know I could not connect with him the way other SEALs can. Like, even though we've got this long history, you know, I've told the story. I first met him when he was a senior in high school. I was a freshman in college, and he was visiting, you know, the university on one of those high school visitation weekend type things. And all he could talk about was he wanted to be the SEAL. And he had just seen this military thing the week before. And he's like, that's what I want to do. Like that was him. Right. So even though I've known him since way back then, since before he was a SEAL, I know I could not possibly reach him the way that another SEAL could. And so by the same token, that means he can reach people in a way that I never would be able to.
True that. Yeah.
Because of, you know, they see you as not just, you know, some other dude, but like as, you know, a brother who's been through what they've been through, and they'll listen to you. So I don't know. That's just all I'm saying about that.
No, it's great. Well, look, it's probably that time.
Green Scott, it's time for this week's topic.
Let's get down to the nitty gritty. Some people think Paul just worked with his hands, and he did, but he also raised funds. Don't believe me? Check out Philippians 4, 1 Corinthians 10, and Romans 15. In fact, when the kingdom of God catapulted forward, there was usually a kingdom-minded businessman or woman behind it, like Priscilla and Aquila. If you're going to raise funds, though, do it well. Our partners, Reliant, can help you put rocket fuel in your fundraising tank. I wish I'd had this when I was church planning. But Reliant can partner with you to get you the training and coaching you need to raise that support, as well as provide you with employment services you may need, like payroll, health benefits, and more. To learn more, check out Reliant.org/CPP.
One of these days, we'll have a soundboard that works forever, and we can just keep it.
Squish, just like it.
Clearly, that day is not today, but one day. No.
One day we'll care. Yeah, we cared off and on. I went into my Dropbox folder and I saw that Pete Mitchell last year had opened my soundbite file. So you thought about it. Oh, on Dropbox. It's like it last opened by Pete Mitchell on such and such date. So all like 300 or 400 of them that I have in there. But today's topic is let me think how to put a name on this. I don't even know what to call this. So maybe at the end, everyone will know what it is. But okay, let me just situationally tell you what happened. for my church plant, right? We're still in the house. I've kept this church in the house forever. And the problem is you keep a core team too long, they start to disband and get bored. Well, we've mixed it up. We've done a little bit of mission here and there. I think we've had 2 vision days. And so we are really like busting to get out of the house now. We can't grow in the house. And I think everybody's at that point where if I don't get us all out pretty soon, people are going to be like, okay, so what are we doing? Right? It's really sweet. Like, don't get me wrong. It's awesome. Like, I'll have a guest speaker come, like David Sundy, guy that did small batch discipleship. He came, spoke. They never know who's famous. Like, when Alan spoke, they're like, oh, that old Jewish guy. We liked him. Hugh Halter came.
Alan come and speak?
Yeah, he's been to my church. The only person that hasn't been who should is Ralph Moore. I should get Ralph over. But I always tell him, I said, they don't know who any of us are. Like, they just don't know us. And so, like, Hugh Halter came. He's the guy that crapped his pants. He told a story about when he crapped his pants in the field when he had, like, a nervous breakdown over his daughter nearly dying. And, you know, of course, it's after his son's really tragic story. But he told a story about when he passed out and crapped his pants, woke up in a field, and then how Jesus ministered to him. So it wasn't, like, for a laugh. But so they never know who these guys are. But David Sundy came. He said, man, that was probably the coolest thing I've ever been to. We're all outside around a fire pit. It's all interactive. Everybody's talking back and forth, and he's, you know, dialogically preaching, which is a lot of what we do. And this Sunday was the day after Dia de los Deftones, and it was in my worship leader, Bo Moffitt. He's away with his family, which means his parents normally don't come if he doesn't come. Another family's like, hey, we got family in town, and so we're going to join my brother who goes to this church so we can all be together today. And it was just one of those days where I'm like, I'm not even sure if anyone's coming. So I'm at Dia de los Deftones till late at night. I get home. I probably get to bed a while, 1 a.m. And so I'm praying. I'm like, Lord, what do you want me to do? Because there's no way I'm going to be able to teach tomorrow. Do you want me to cancel it? And I felt the Lord say no, because people are going to come. But we couldn't for the life of us figure out who's going to come. Well, it turns out there's one guy I knew he would come. I mean, we got this guy. He's a semi-pro skater from France. And he comes all the time. Like, he's so new in his faith. Like, it's rad. Like, one of the talks I'll get to what he talked about. But I'm discipling him now in the week. And I'll tell you this real quick, 'cause it's just too cool not to tell. Do you remember Bones Brigade? Like the skating thing, Tony Hawk, all that stuff. Remember Bones Brigade?
I do not remember Bones Brigade, because
there's a guy, he went by Mac. I think his last name was like McMillan. He was like a skateboarding legend outside of Tony Hawk. He was the first one to do, like, I don't know, 500 and something on a half pipe. I don't really follow all that stuff. Funny enough, I recently bought a Santa Cruz skateboard and I've been screwing around. But anyways, I'm sitting there and, you know, this guy, I knew that this guy at my church plant was semi-pro. I've seen videos of him and knew he competed and yada, yada. And this Matt guy, we go to this pizza place and he goes, yeah, my buddy owns it. I had no idea it was that guy. It's all these boards on the wall, and he'd opened a pizza place a few months ago. He comes up and he looks at, he goes by Tibbs, this French skater. And he goes, hey, what's up, man? He goes, hey, when are we going skating? And I'm thinking, dude, like, outside of Tony Hawk, this is one of like biggest skaters. He knows them all, dude. Like, he has conversations with them regularly. He has this French healing clay. But anyways, he turned up, and that's his business. So a lot of these athletes use it when they get injured, yada, yada. And so what happened was he turns up, and I'm thinking, okay, so it would just be me and him. What I felt God lead me to do was whoever comes, we're going to break up into groups, and we're going to do something really simple. And talk about our life. What's going on? What can I pray for you for? And as stupid as that sounds, it was incredible. The Spirit of God, brother. Like, okay. So Tibbs and I are up in my office. We're hanging up in here. Then Andrea comes up. She goes, "Hey, Becca came." I'm like, "Okay, cool. You know, like, I'll still meet with Tibbs. You meet Becca." Then this young couple comes. And so I said, "Well, look, now we got, you know, two groups of three, me and you. You got two girls, I got two guys." And so we sit outside, they sit in the living room. And the first thing I said, "Hey guys, we're just gonna talk about your life, you know, like what's going on? How can I pray for you?" And this young guy, you know, he's been going through recovery. He's got 4 months sobriety. Again, he was one of the, God put him on my heart. I never call him. He never responds to texts. One day, you know, 4 months ago, God's like, "Call him." Out of the blue, I call him up. He goes, "Hey," you know, he tells me this terrible story. And he's like, "You know, and I'm going to need to find a new place to live," and yada, yada. And I'm like, "Oh." So I walk him through, "Hey, I think you need to go rehab." And so he does that. But on the call, I do something I never do. I lead it because we baptize him, and I lead him in this. It's not the sinner's prayer. It's like this prayer of surrender. And dude, you could just feel the Holy Spirit. He says that day on the phone, he's like, "Something happened. Something happened to me that day." Like, he's like, "I wasn't completely sober when we were talking," which I knew, I could tell. But anyways, so he's sitting there and he goes, "Hey, I got a topic." He goes, my brother-in-law comes over, and he wants to walk through the seven trepans. I don't know, man, like Revelation. He doesn't know any of the Bible, by the way. First ever, session, and I'll meet with him tonight, as a matter of fact, first ever session with him, discipling him. I had to explain to him Old and New Testament. Didn't even know what that was. And so, he goes, "Yeah, so, you know," he's like, "the thing is like, he's struggling for how to describe it. You know, Spirit's at work in his life, changing him, transforming him. He doesn't know as much of the Bible," but he goes, "Yeah, my brother-in-law, you know, he comes over and he's like gung-ho and he's this, and he's talking about the seven trumpets. And he's like, and I want to really follow Jesus, but I don't want to be like that gung-ho." And I said, "You mean fanatical?" He goes, "Yeah." And I go, "So like, you really want to follow Jesus, like with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and love him and follow him and surrender your life to him, but you don't want to be weird?" He goes, "Yeah, that's what I'm saying." I'm like, "Hey, look, it's okay to say that certain Christians are weird, because they are." I said, "Look, I learned a long time ago, if something seems weird, it's because it is." He's like, "Yeah, wow." You know, so anyways, he got like, brother, we would have sat through church as per normal, like every other Sunday. And he would have sat there with that locked up inside him, wondering, how come I'm not as on fire for Jesus as, and we just had this amazing talk about the no crazy rule in Corinthians, you know, like yada, yada. It was the most discipleship I've ever seen on a Sunday. Meanwhile, Tibbs is sitting there. Tibbs starts bringing something up where Tibbs is late. He's talking about, "Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, I had this vivid dream once, and I think I have past lives, but I don't know what the Bible says about that, you know?" And I'm like, "Okay." So we're chatting about that. And I'm just like, dude, this is why you get into this, right? This is why you and I get into church planning. It's why you're on frontline mission. It is so addicting. But the Spirit of God came. When we ended, and then I'll shut up in a second. They were all like, "This was so cool." And I'm thinking, yeah, I was going to cancel today because hardly anyone was going to be there. I was rough. I could have slept in. And just running it by Jesus was like, "No, don't do it." I will honestly tell you, it was probably one of the best days of church I've ever had, because we didn't have worship. We didn't have a sermon. It was like, it was a discipleship Sunday. And I'm like, we already, at the Abbey have a mission Sunday where we say once a month, we'll just ditch church and go on mission. So a discipleship Sunday? Heck yes. And brother, you were with me at Refuge Long Beach. It was rad, but I am still learning how to switch things up in a way that, and it didn't require, it required leadership because it ended up becoming them talking about topics. But I didn't think in the beginning it was going to need it. And so all I'm saying is I would do this once a month. And so when everyone was leaving, they're all talking about how rad it was. And again, it's only four people on Andrew and I. So as they're leaving, this one woman says, hey, and I know like it's probably getting to her that we've been in the house a long time. She said to me, you know, when I first came this morning, I knew it would be a low Sunday with so many people away because we have a group text. I can't make it. She's like, and I really needed people today. I really needed it. I started thinking maybe I should go to such and such church because there I would have, you know, would have had a bunch of people. She's like, but I would have been sitting in a crowd and I would have never had this. And this was exactly what I needed. And it just made me sit back like, I don't know how big this church is going to get when we actually go for it and get out of the house. But I never want to be in a position where I can't do what we did this Sunday because it was so good. It may have been one of the coolest church planning services I've ever had. And I don't know how to put it other than it was like when we would break up into groups at Refuge. And we did that, you know, I don't know, trying to remember Refuge. Did we break up into groups every Sunday or not? Or was that Pillar? I can't remember now.
Yeah, no, I think we did. Because remember, you wanted me to lead one of the groups. I'm like, ah!
Did you?
Who knows? I don't even remember now. It's been.
So I didn't let you scroll your way out of much, did I? I'm like, no, you're fine. You're fine. You'll be great at it.
Well, I think the thing that was harder for me, because realistically, there's probably nothing that anyone at Refuge could have asked that I wouldn't have had an answer to.
Right.
Like,
right.
Because just they were so by the new. Fear fact that I've grown up in the church and no one there had.
Right. They weren't going to go like, so Pete, infralapsarianism.
Arminianism and Calvinism. And I'd be,
infralapsarian or superlapsarian? Which theological stance do you take?
Yeah, right. But for me, the harder part was just talking to people because I'm so introverted. And it's like, I would have never have said hi to you on the street. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
And not even because of who you are, just because I wouldn't say hi to anybody on the street. Like, I don't talk to people. So, yeah. So we did do it. We had little
Pete was like that Instagram. Now that I speak that language, that Instagram meme where the little boy goes, oh no, they're in a park. And the mom goes, what's wrong, baby? And he points and he goes, people.
Dude, what's funny is Mackenzie is just like me.
Oh my God.
There's too many people here. And Jamie just looks at me. She goes, she's your daughter. And I'm like, yes.
The entire time knowing Mackenzie when she was younger, and she's better now, but it would be like I would come over and I'd say hi, and she would stare at me. Like, have you ever seen Children of the Damned where they just stare at you? You know, like this piercing, soul-piercing look, like, you know? But it was like more cynical. That's what Mackenzie did. She'd just stare at me like, I'm watching you. I'm not responding. I don't know what response you deserve, but I got my eye on you. That was Mackenzie.
Yeah. So,
but I mean, back
to your question.
Yeah. Pete, honestly, it was incredible. And I just want to challenge the church planners as, you know, probably the slowest guy in the room and the latest one to this party. You know, how is it that I'm at this age and I've never in my life just thought, why not just have a meeting in small groups the entire time this Sunday? What's the problem? The scripture was getting busted out left and right. We prayed. Oh, I didn't even get to the coolest part. I said, hey, guys, you know, like, let's pray for one another, because real stuff started coming out. I said, you know, let's pray for it. And both of them are like, oh, hey, why don't you pray? Because, you know, like, one guy goes, oh, I'm not really good at it. And the other guy goes, I don't really know how to do it. And so I'm like, gosh, dang, these guys have been in my church plant for how long? Like, a year and a half? And I'm thinking, by the way, I would never keep anyone in it. We're probably going on 2 years in the house. And I mean, some people would be like, oh, you got a great church, house church, great, go. I don't think that's what this is supposed to be. But what I said was, I said, well, look, you know, hey, I get where you guys are coming from. You know, I got to be good at it. Nobody's good at it. I'm not good at it. But I said, why don't you just pray one sentence? You know, just one sentence. Doesn't matter what it is. Even if it's like, Lord, I disagree with everything. Just say something, you know, like talk to God, and God will know what's in your heart. They're like, oh, okay. So we pray. And I said, here's what I'll do. Like, first we bow our head, and one of them goes, so how do I know when's my turn? So I go, well, hey, look, I'll pray first, then each of you prays, and then I'll pray at the end. And then one guy goes, yeah, man. So then we know there'll be a good prayer for sure. So, you know, then, so I open up, I pray for the two of them, and I expect one or two lines. You know, God, thanks for today. This was cool. Amen. Dude, these prayers busted out of them, both of them, that were beautiful. And then I closed. And I'm looking at him at the end, and I go, guys, do you know what just happened when you guys prayed? And they're like, what? And I said, well, like, okay, number one, Jesus said when two or more ask anything in my name be done. Because you know what happens is you think sometimes when you're praying, like, you're not confident enough that God hears you. But you think God hears me, right? And you probably think God hears the other person here, but not you as much. We pray, it gives us confidence. And Jesus gave us that, like, hey, when you're praying together, I'm hearing, I'm listening. Because you may not have the confidence to believe that God hears you, but you have the confidence to believe he's hearing the other people around you. And that increases your faith. And they're like, yeah. And then I said, but get this. Here's the second thing. How cool was it that somebody prayed for you? How cool did that feel? That someone was praying into your life right now. And they're like, oh yeah, that was rad. And I said, and think about it. You were able to be that blessing for somebody else. When you prayed, you expressed God's heart to bless that person. Like, and you blessed somebody today. And the one guy, because he's been in recovery, he's at AA, and that's so ingrained into AA, he goes, whoa. Like, it's so encouraging him. I said, just remember that, guys. Whenever you pray for somebody, you're being used by God to tell them they're not alone. You're being used by God to express his heart to them. And they feel that, just like you guys felt today. And brother, like, that alone was worth the price of admission, to watch these lights switch on and to hear them pray because they stepped out in faith to bless other people. It was seriously like, I'm like, okay, these two guys, if this was a video game, they just bumped up like five levels. Ding, 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 ding. You know, like their power or whatever you want to call it, their armor, whatever, just chink, you know, it just went up. And it, man, it was just so cool. It's discipleship meets church planning, right? But discipleship Sunday, I guess that's what I'm talking about. You know, putting that on the rotation.
Interesting. You know, one of the things that I thought was interesting in that documentary we were talking about before, because you made me think of it here. But all these,
I thought you were going to segue into, you know, when you're doing all that discipling on a Sunday.
No. One of the things that a couple of the guys said, one guy said it directly, I think another guy alluded to it, was the idea of having purpose. He goes, you know, when I'm with the team and, you know, we're on, you know, out of the country on mission, if you will, he goes, you know, it's easy to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning because you're excited. You're like, this is what I need to do. This is the job that I got. Like, I have a purpose. You know, they were relating that back to, you know, now that they're out, they feel like they have no purpose, right? Their whole life was to get to that point and then to do that job. And now what do I do? Right. And it reminded me of a line. So a few weeks back, my business partners, they were putting on their annual event for all their owners, for our sister company, the one that they run that I have really nothing to do with. And Lauren, who you've met, right? Lauren says a great line that really stuck out, and I wrote it down. She's like, when you don't have purpose, you do busy work.
Mm.
And I'm like, okay, as a business owner, I 100% get that. Like, there's all kinds of crap that I can do when I'm not like, this is my purpose. This is what I got to get done. This is what I'm focusing on. And when I don't have that thing that I'm focusing on, I let everything get in the way. Everything, because it's like, you know, there's no purpose, right?
Yeah.
And it's kind of the same way with church planning.
Yeah.
And I think part of the issue that over, you know, whatever it is, 12 years that we've been doing this podcast, that we really kind of beat into the ground, is this idea that church planning isn't about the numbers.
Mm-mm.
It's not about, and when you think it is, that's when you start to, you know, your self-worth gets wrapped up in your church plant. It's your job. It's everything, right? It's not about reaching the unreached. It's not about taking that new believer and getting them to the next level and helping them reach unbelievers.
Yeah.
But that's the purpose, right? So when you've got that as a clear set purpose, everything else starts to fall. It's not about busy work, right? It's not just about, well, we got to do our worship. We got to do some announcements. All right, I got my sermon. Right. Yeah. Cause that, I mean, I'm not saying that's busy work, but it can become busy work because you're not focused on the purpose anymore.
Yeah.
Like you were.
No, it's so true, man. And, you know, I saw a young influencer and she was basically on Instagram. She came up. I don't know who she is. I said influencer. It might have just been a person, you know, but on Instagram talking. And what she said was, you know, hey, you know, we talk about, you know, humility and leadership and this and that and that and this. And she's like, but why is it at church? It's this, like, all we promote it at the appearance when you go to a Sunday is excellence and top notch. And, you know, the worship leader has a different outfit for every Sunday. And it's this performance thing. And she's like, but it's nothing, you know, the values that we're teaching. It's we're saying one thing, but we're doing another. And I think, you know, one of the things that you mentioned, reaching the unreached, cha-ching, you mentioned as a concept, I'm mentioning as a book. I hit out at that at the beginning. Like, sometimes we can get so into the show and into the performance and into the vehicle of church that it's like Ichabod written across the door of, you know, the spirit is departed. That's what Ichabod means. And it was written across the face of the temple by one of the prophets, you know, in his vision, that the glory has departed. And what I felt with like four people that turned up was Jesus, like, I'm here, two or more, I'll be there. And he was there, brother. There's that famous saying, or not a famous saying, but there's the story of the guy who went to the Vatican and the cardinals taking him around, showing off all the riches and opulence and, you know, the production. He says, never again will the church say, like Peter, silver and gold I do not have. And he was a Franciscan, and he said, yes, but never again will the church say, rise up and walk, like Peter. And so I'm not saying if you have a big church, mega church, it does excellence, blah, blah, blah. You can have both. But it will be only because you intentionally prioritize the one over the other. If the other happens, and great, But it's kind of like Ralph Moore says, if you make disciples, multiplication always happens. Church planting always happens. But if you church plant, discipleship doesn't always happen. So, or disciple making doesn't always happen. If you go for quality, quantity may or may not happen. But if you go for quantity, quality will not happen. Just plain and simple. You know? It's not a result. One can be the result of the other, but not always. But the other one will never come from the other. That's my point.
Huh.
But the Spirit of God, I mean, that's what we're really kind of going for here, right? And I just felt like I tapped into something on Sunday that, as stupid as it sounds, because I hear like, really? Spoke up into small groups and yeah. And it was funny because Andrea's group went a completely different way. Like they actually did almost like a Lectio Divina where you take a scripture and you meditate on it for a few minutes because there were no rules. It was, hey, we're going to talk about what's going on in our life. And I think Andrea did almost like a more prophetic where she was like, hey, I want you to wait on the Lord and think of a scripture, see what scripture comes to mind and share it with the group. Then we're all going to meditate on it. And that's what she did. And that's cool. I mean, that's really cool. But, I mean, I think we both learned something this Sunday. That's all I'm saying. New ways of doing things. Because neither one of us in our groups had ever done what we had done before. So, it was cool. So, that's all I'm saying.
So, how do you take care of all your accounting needs when you're doing these new type of church services?
Yeah. Oh, no, Pete, I'm so glad you said that because with those four people, it completely took me out of my depth. I mean, I thought to myself, when those four people turned up, I don't know how in the world I'm going to deal with the finances that result from today. So the first thing I did after everybody left, as I got on my computer and I emailed Josh Henry and said, hey, Josh, I have some accounting needs after this Sunday. Can you hear that train?
I heard something, but
yeah, it was my train. Josh, I can you help me out? And Josh, Pete, he works for SimplifyChurch.com.
Oh, you were done. Okay, awesome.
No, I was waiting for you to respond and emote a bit, like, oh,
SimplifyChurch.com? Tell me more.
Well, Pete, they take care of all of our accounting needs, bookkeeping, and they have a specialist assigned to you. They'll help you with their tax compliancy and even your donor receipts at any year. That's coming up, you know, Pete, and you're required by law to send those, and they'll take care of all that for you.
You know, some company bought him out, right? And you know, one of these days they're going to like listen to these commercials and be like, what are you doing?
Well, I sent him a video with my ugly face on it that said, I love Simplify Church because this and that. And I said the real stuff. So as long as the front is up. But yeah, honestly, guys, I use them. New Breed uses them. My church uses them. They're rad. They're really good and they're affordable. So check them out, SimplifyChurch.com.
And remember, if you want to reach the ones that nobody's reaching, you need to go where nobody's going. And do what nobody's doing.
Press one now.